The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The fact that Jen's not here, let's talk about her. A, who calls it a pimple unless you're old? No offense, Homer. It's a zit, right?
No, I don't agree with that.
I mean, who calls it a pimple?
I think that's a discount liquor Twitter poll question, but I don't.
Do you call it a pimple or a zit?
I've always called it a pimple.
I mean, I've called
there
it
you
both,
go.
But I
just
guess.
Just made my point.
What do you mean, made your point?
He said it was
Chewy
always.
Was right. I just made my
Holy
point.
Holy Chewy was right.
Hanging out with someone last weekend around your age, I said, Homer, there is an old people language.
I don't. Maybe
there
it
just
is.
Did.
Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
So to that point, as Homer is in for Jen, and he's going to be on Football Fridays going forward. Do you call it a zit or a pimple? It's a poll we have up at ESPN Milwaukee. 62% of people say they call it a zit.
Does that mean he's right? Is it a 50-50 vote?
Homer, Chewy
well,
only needs
I think it goes,
14% to be right.
Okay.
Yeah, Chewy has claimed victory on much less than 62%.
Right. But I think there's, an age where one calls it a zit, one calls it a pimple. Like my parents called it a pimple,
All right. Sounds good.
Are you going to transition to calling it a pimple at some point here, Chew?
Me? No. I think there'll be another word for
when
it.
He gets old.
There'll be another word
that's
for
what
it.
I'm
like,
saying.
Like they'll call it a clocker or something like that. And I'll be like, well, it's a zit. No, it's a clocker. like people in their 20s now. They'll come up with a different term for it. And
gotcha.
Then
I think
20
you're
years
right.
From now,
I think
be
you're
like,
right on that. I don't know what the new term is. There probably is a new
one.
Yeah. You're
like,
on a roll.
Like the whole thing. Like I have a daughter that's dating now, and they don't call it. The language is bizarre.
She's
and it's not
out?
Bizarre to them. Hang it. There you go, Gabe. They call it hanging out. No, we're just talking. Well, Homer, back in the when you dated someone back in the day in high school, you called it going steady, right?
Yeah, they
called it
out,
going steady in the 50s.
The hanging out is has been around for a while, but that's definitely the way it's viewed. You're dating, but you can still, I think, be dating and still be hanging out.
So when I was in college, because Facebook was new, and you had to have a .edu email address in order to sign up for Facebook, because it was initially just for college students. Being Facebook official was a huge deal. Like, because you could change your relationship status on Facebook. And if you were Facebook official, that's how you knew things were serious. Otherwise, you're just kind of hanging
out. What do they call it on Facebook? Like,
well, they just put it, you're either single, in a relationship.
Okay.
It's complicated, I think, is one of them. But that was, that was a thing back in my day.
I don't know. All right. But it is a different language. The language.
Oh, it changes with every generation, does it not?
So
no,
I think
people do go out on dates as with groups.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They didn't. I mean, I'm going out on a date. I got no interest with other people being around.
It's kind of a safety net.
I guess, yeah. But that's been around for a while. It's not a bad thing.
Okay. But what's just?
I might have gotten more yeses.
Just making out, or what's when?
Just talking, you're probably not making out at that point. You're kind of exploring it. There's some mutual interests.
I can lock this down for you guys.
Okay.
Just talking essentially means you're not exclusive. Hanging out means you're exclusive. That's as baseline as I can make it.
Really? I figured hanging out means you're not exclusive.
No, it's there's always gray area in life, right? But I would say if I'm giving you a baseline, if you're just talking, it's not exclusive. There are different bases.
Yeah,
you're
hanging
getting
out
to.
Is a date.
Yeah, hanging out is your exclusive with each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
to know.
But you're with other people, right? You can't say hanging out.
No. You're just hanging out.
So you could be hanging out and just the two of you.
Yeah, it's like hypothetically.
All right. Okay. Got it.
As someone of the younger generation, hypothetically, if I was asking someone to hang out, that's the same thing as asking on a date. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's an improvement.
We also get a text here, 800-990-3776 from Chef Ed. Did Homer not have his McDonald's coffee this morning? He seems to be more calmer than normal.
It's not my Homer. Show. It's a different role. That's why.
Also, like, you don't even like coffee.
I don't like coffee. That's correct. That's the one thing I've done in my life for my wife.
She likes getting coffee, so you go get coffee.
So I go get coffee, and I can't go and say, can I have a hot chocolate? They used to make fun of me because I've never participated in a penny for coffee at work from radio station since 1980. Yes. Homer's, it wasn't Homer. I'm not hitting by. No, he didn't like coffee. I got hot chocolate. I was way ahead of the time. My head ahead of my time.
So you,
all Starbucks is coffee and hot chocolate. It's just sweetness to coffee in various ways.
I agree.
I didn't see that one. But now I go out and have coffee. What?
You act the way you do with. That's just all natural.
Yeah, that's pretty much me.
I mean, he's got a DC.
No energy drinks, no nothing.
No, I mean, I bought a Diet Coke just to have it, and then I already threw it away. So, no, this is pretty much me. Yep. There's no
enhancements needed.
No. The enhancement is the topic. For example, I am just now fired up about figuring out Za'Darius Smith. I'm convinced he's going to get traded, and here's why. All this crap is going on, and the guy played 18 plays. I'm sitting in a meeting. I defer to you, too. Like, I go like, I mean, I'm sitting with the coaches. I know they've had this meeting already. What are we going to do with him? He didn't be playing. Goody, what can you get for him? Who's replacing him? If the defense and the team struggles in some way, that quickens to me the process. And you mentioned cap. All these things are being talked about because there's a percentage already. Get him out of here.
I know, but Homer, he's not going to pass a physical if you get rid of him. I mean, no one's going to touch
him.
What if
he doesn't really have a back injury?
Yeah, if the back isn't that bad, that's part of it.
Because I assumed that it was a legitimate injury. And however, when Jason said earlier today, if you missed that interview, catch it, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts for free, I was not aware of this part of the story. That head coach Matt LaFleur was not aware and was not sure where the back became an issue. He's like, I have no idea when he heard it. If the head coach doesn't know when he heard it, it makes me question the legitimacy of the injury. And I'm guessing I'm not the only one. My guess is, Chu, how many times in the locker room are you guessing an injury is legitimate for a guy?
Legitimate or not legitimate?
Not legitimate,
it happens every year, maybe two or three guys throughout the season. But let me ask you this. Does Za'Darius act this way, which we're all interpreting as very selfish, if Rodgers doesn't go through all his drama in the offseason and makes it all about him? I don't think he does. Because I think typically when a guy is, and this happens in the locker room, is faking, he gets iced out.
Like not picked as captain after being captain 2 years in a row?
Yeah, that, or you're just like, you're not engaging with them. Yeah, I mean, you're essentially saying that we think you're full of crap, you should be playing and you're not, so we're going to ice you out. But the fact that Rodgers goes through his whole offseason thing and it's about me, Za'Darius is probably like, well, he did it, so I'll do it.
But Rodgers showed up. He didn't get the contract that he wanted. Rodgers didn't get what he wanted. He showed up and he's been going through everything. Like, this is a completely different way.
Gabe, he had nowhere else to go. What was Rodgers going to do? He's either going to sit out, because they weren't going to trade him during the season, I believe. They were going to make him wait to the draft next year, which is still probably going to happen. But it was either not play and be miserable or come in here and play.
Gabe, I agree with you, but that doesn't mean that's not what Za'Darius is thinking.
Correct.
I mean, Za'Darius is just, he's gone a little goofy. And so I would think that it's possible that's why it's gotten to this point. But it all comes down to how hurt he is. Maybe LaFleur doesn't know anything about the defense because he just focuses on the offense. But you'd think he knew about Za'Darius Smith, given how important he is to the team, and that the defense played as poorly as it did.
But, Gabe, how many times have I told you on this show, if you're disgruntled, the way to get back at your team? Because Za'Darius is getting paid his full amount, whether he plays one more down or he plays every down. I said, what's the one way, and when are they going to wake up? What's the one way a player can get back at a team? Fake an injury. Fake an injury.
Yeah. So the only thing here is, and maybe he pushes to play, as I'm trying to figure out what it would mean if the Packers traded him. Because other than baseball, Like, every sport's salary cap structure gets kind of complicated because you're trying to manipulate it, you're trying to stay under it, and especially now in the NFL, with the cap not going up because of the pandemic as much as they thought, you know, the Packers are in a bad spot with the salary cap. And looking at Za'Darius Smith's contract, according to OverTheCap.com, he has a $500,000 per game roster bonus. So every time that he does not dress, every time he is on the inactive list, he misses out on $500K, which seems pretty significant. So if he does not play this Saturday, excuse me, this Monday, he would be out $500,000.
And he's going to be even more irritated. Yes. I mean, I'm Za'Darius. Yeah. I want my $500,000 every game, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I want to be active.
But if he had, I mean,
you know what? If they pull that, the Packers, he'll leave. He'll get in his car and he'll leave, I guarantee.
If he's not active on Monday. But he hasn't practiced this week, Chew. I mean, if the injury's bad enough that he hasn't practiced, like, by not practicing, hasn't that given the Packers an out not to make him active?
That was really smart on the Packers.
Yes, but this complicates things. I've never heard of that. There's no question.
Absolutely, because he's a very valuable part of this team. But, I mean, if he's not all in and the Packers get to the point of we're paying this guy $500,000 a game to play 15 plays, let's make him inactive, which is going to make this thing. But I'm telling you, he will leave. He'll get in his car and leave.
We all agree that this is going to get worse before it gets better, right? It's only going to continue to get worse.
Yeah, because they're not going to pay him more money. They don't have any money.
I mean, at this point,
I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Drew.
Do you guys think that this happens if Aaron doesn't do what he did in the offseason?
I don't think there'd be enough pressure? I still think it happens because Za'Darius is upset about his own contract situation because of the way the Packers handled it in terms of – and again, this all started because they restructured his contract. They took a lot of base salary, turned it into a signing bonus, but their initial plan was to pay it out as the season went, just like it was a base salary. So it was just like an on-paper move only. And he got upset that, hey, if it's a signing bonus, give me that money right now. It's a signing bonus. I get that up front. Well, now, eventually, the Packers did do that, but it may have been too late where he was ticked off where it's not going
to
be.
The Packers feel like they gave in to him. If I'm the Packers, like, hey, we gave in and we're still getting this crap? Right?
I mean, no, I think the Packers move was smart, Homer.
I know, but I'm saying if I'm the Packers,
potentially be a problem.
This whole thing irritates me because I would have thought that we resolved it.
And how dumb is that for the Packers, by the way? They have plenty of money to give money right up front for a signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it was a $60 million dollar signing bonus. We're talking like $10, $12 million, which, yes, is a lot of money, but not for a franchise that has $500 million or whatever in their kitty.
I wanted to ask you about Wayne Simmons because they cut him in the middle of the year, right? I mean, I remember they were saying that the Shermer, the defensive coordinator, was crying, but somebody got mad at him. Holmgren got mad at him. Wolf got mad at him. And there's a percentage that'll believe that you would have won that Super Bowl if he'd still been on the team. But I don't know how accurate. But that happened to him. He was a huge part of the team, right?
Yeah, but Fritz was the only one that could control him. And that's why I said that earlier about Sterling. Because it drove Mike absolutely crazy that Sterling wasn't practicing. I mean, not once.
But I mean, Simmons, were the players upset? Did they understand? You went through this, and did you think it was going to happen? Was it that big a deal? Am I overplaying the importance of it, or what?
No. It got to the point where he was not controllable, or if.
Right. Isn't that similar to this?
Eye to eye.
I don't know that LaFleur has that same power, but
I don't know. I could tell just because I think we had Seth. Did we have Seth Joyner
at
the same
time? Yes, they got Seth Joyner.
Seth Joyner was a very, very good player, but at the end of his career, he wasn't even
close. I mean, I was just asking, like, you live this. Does this feel anything like Simmons? Is there a point where as a player on the team you go, we got to get rid of this guy. I mean, it's creating problems, and that was a very good team. Maybe it didn't. And
yeah. See, Wayne Wayne had some issues. I don't know if Za'Darius has issues, but Wayne certainly had issues. I just think Za'Darius is all about himself. Wayne wasn't all about himself. He was just flipping nuts.
All right.
You know?
Okay.
There's a difference.
You
there,
answered
Homer.
The question.
By the way, the Packers team cap space right now sits at just a little over $7.5 million. If I'm understanding this correctly, which I could not be, and if you understand the NFL salary cap better than we do, hit us up at 800-990-3776. But I believe, if I'm understanding overthecap.com correctly, that the Packers would have to find $10 million in cap space in order to trade or cut Za'Darius Smith during the season. So they'd have to find $3 million just to be able to actually pull off the move. And then, you know, you always want a little bit of wiggle room with your cap space on top of that. So the whole thing becomes more complicated in that purview, given all the moves they had to do just to get under the salary cap to this point. If you say don't freak out enough, does it mean that you're freaking out? We'll talk about that next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild.
Really,
and in the name
really
of the Lollipop Guild, we wish to welcome you to Munchkin Land.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you ever had someone tell you something so much that it ends up having the opposite effect of what they're intending? Like, you're in a situation of, hey, just be calm. Be calm. Be calm. Like, telling me to be calm, it's certainly not helping. Well, the Packers losing 38-3, and everyone this week is telling me not to freak out. But because everyone is telling me not to freak out, I feel like I'm starting to freak out a little bit more. Let's start with Davante Adams, who spoke to the media yesterday.
It's a lot of football this year, you know, 17 games. So we got a lot of opportunities to come back and respond. And we got a lot of confidence. We know what we're about as a team. We know the type of players that we have in the locker room. So it's just not really, I guess there's no real reason to freak out, especially when it's such a weird game like what it was. It's like kind of makes it easier to bounce back. Got it out the way first game. And all you can do is look on to the next one.
And it's everyone's using that word freak out like Aaron Rodgers.
Look, we won a lot of games around here. We've lost a few, but you move on. You know, doesn't matter if you play incredible and put up 50 or you get blown out. You move on to the next opponent. There shouldn't be some big drastic change and alteration the way that we do things, the way we practice, the way we prepare. If it's good enough to get you to this point, then it's good enough from this point forward. So I haven't changed any of the stuff that I've been doing. Obviously, you know, we got to play better. But if we're starting to freak out after 1 week.
Guys, am I crazy? Am I crazy? Because they keep using the word freak out. And every time I hear the word freak, I feel like I start to freak a little bit more. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think they're all they're leaving a huge part of this out, which is the reason you can freak out, is that usually it's happened after they've gone through the season. Like, the freak out is, and they don't bring it up, but Matt LaFleur has played on the road the first two games of the year, and they won, and he was 4-0 1 year, 3-1 the next. So whatever they've done, this hasn't happened. So the freaking out part is not having a game like this. They had one in the Tampa Bay to start the season like this. So I'm assuming Matt LaFleur did everything the way he's done in the past. All right, and it's always worked great. They've always started the season great. So he does everything again the same way, and they get their brains beat out. The hell's going on? Well, maybe this was just the time for it, but it is different, and I agree with you. The way they're using that word means it is different than just a regular loss. And that's the answer they haven't addressed, and that's what I would say. Yeah, you lost like this, but you also did it the first game. Who screwed up? Clearly, Matt LaFleur did not have the feeling of the locker room. And fine, probably not. He did the same way he's done it every year, the practices and the, you know. So, yes, I agree with you. Yes, the fact of them using that word makes people freak because don't use the word. Okay.
They never really explained it away. I mean, this isn't
they
like...
They can't.
No, they really can't. But that's why you freak out now.
Yes, because you... the difference?
Would
Aaron Rodgers was
out?
Different. The offseason was different. And clearly, that When someone says that to me, I don't have a defense. I got no defense. No, yeah, but Homer, that was the one thing that's different, and the team was clearly different early in the season in the first game than they've ever been under Matt LaFleur.
All right, Homer, let me ask you this, because me and you are both not a big fan of Joe Barry Carroll, but I will freak out in three games if the offense looks the way they do. I'm not going to freak out if the defense continues to play like they are, because we could all say kind of saw it coming.
Well,
right?
And they've had struggles in the past with Patton. Yeah, I agree totally. The freaky part of the first game, I mean, they played New Orleans early in the season last year. It was 38-35. To give up the points in defense of Barry was no different. Yes, this is all about, we assume the offense is going to be really good. The offense struggles against Detroit, even if they win, and they'll be freaking out again.
But it's just, again,
yeah,
it's,
I agree.
And maybe it's because it's the long week, and maybe it's because the Packers don't play until Monday. But every time Rodgers has said freak out now multiple times, said it at the podium, said it on McAfee's show. Now Devontae is going to the podium and saying, oh, there's no reason to freak out. Like, the fact that they're just using the same language, it's making me freak out. Like, it's having
change,
the opposite.
Though?
It's having the opposite effect of what they're trying to make it happen. Like, I was calmer, I feel, after the loss than I am now on Friday.
But why, though? Because of the offense?
No, because they're telling me not to freak out.
I mean,
out.
If they give up, Gabe, let me ask you. If they give up 38 to Detroit, are you shocked?
Yes.
Are you shocked?
Yes.
38,
you are?
Yes.
See, I'm 30, not.
38!
Have you seen Jared Goff play quarterback?
Homer, what would the line be for you to freak out and be like, here we go again with Joe Barry? What would
well,
the line
no,
be?
I want to emphasize, but my issue with Joe Barry is that it's this immense risk. That they just took this huge risk because of his resume. So I'm not, I mean, Patton had games where they couldn't stop the run. It wasn't that much different. They're a little more confused. So, but yes, the seriousness is the offense. I mean, they were the best scoring team in Detroit's, you know, not that good defensively. So, yeah.
Yes.
So the biggest concern is the offense. The success to make the Super Bowl, to me, is based on the defense, and that's what I'm worried about. But I'm taking, the offense isn't top three or top four in the league. They ain't going anywhere.
Like, if they give up 38 points,
Chewy,
38 points in back-to-back weeks.
Gabe.
That's really
why
bad.
Are we shocked? How long have I been saying their D-line is average at best with Kenny Clark?
They 38
have, they have
points.
A linebacker.
No,
they
say
have a
28.
Linebacker.
Say 25. 38. The whole war, 38. Detroit can't score 38 against eight players. They scored at the end of the game. It was kind of fluky how many points they got. I don't know what the number is, but 38. 38.
Watch the Packers win like 42-35.
Hey, I'm saying, Homer, can you name me a linebacker on their defense?
Well, but it's always been that way. Is it Thompson? What's the new guy? It's the one guy they got, and the new guy they got's pretty
they're
good.
Guys.
Well, but they
Kevin
set
King
up the
is
defense
consistent
that
in
way.
The way he plays defense. You know, I know. That's why.
I mean, there's only one concern of mine on the defense right now. One, and it's not even close. It's Za'Darius. He's their second best player, right?
Yeah.
Jair's
the best defensive player. Yeah.
They need Za'Darius. He's a great pass rusher and. If he plays 18 plays, I still don't think Detroit's going to score 38. But how good's this
all right,
defense
so
going to be?
If Detroit scores 38, you got to get a Manzini. You sounded very confident there that Detroit is not scoring 38. So throw the Manzini.
To do a Manzini, they got to score 78. I'll mow your lawn at 38.
It's a big lawn.
I know how big the lawn
but
is.
But, Chewy, do you want somebody else mowing your lawn? I feel you're very particular about your grass.
In November, I really don't care.
Okay.
Coming towards the end.
You pick out what I have to do, 38. I'll go to your house, and on a Friday, I will pick you up, and I'll be your chauffeur to bring you here.
I want tickets Minnesota, Green Bay.
Yeah, he'll re-gift the ones that you gave him.
Yes, that's what I would do.
Speaking of tickets, you can get two free Packers tickets to any Packers home game. Two free tickets to a Packers home game this year. Yeah, what do you got to do? You just got to contact our friends at Window Select and have them out to your home for a free estimate. That's right. If you have Window Select come out to your home for an estimate, you get two free Packers tickets. That's all it takes. Don't even have to buy anything, and the estimate is free as well. It's a limited supply with a first-come, first-serve offer. And Window Select, on top of the two free tickets, still has everything that they always do. Buy one window, get one free with no limit, no payments for an entire year. And you want to be supporting Window Select because they are a local Wisconsin company providing you replacement windows, siding, and doors. Window Select, a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Buy one window, get one free, no limit, no payments for a year. And you can mention you heard about the two free Packers tickets from me, Gabe Wright, here on ESPN Milwaukee. Call today to schedule that free home estimate, 262-703-3500, or just make it simple by going to windowselect.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Giannis stirs Sixers with beef. Sit-down celebration.
Did you say
Yeah, you did.
What is it?
Ire.
Oh, tomato, tomato, get off my back.
Man, sugar makes Chewy angry.
Yeah, it does.
He's turning into the Hulk. Chewy smash!
On 94.5 ESPN.
She's in my mind when she's not right there beside me. I go crazy because here is where I want to be. And satisfaction feels like a distant memory.
Are you freaking out? 800-990-3776. That's the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Homer is in for Jen. He is going to be in. And of course, like, this is the only way Jen, Gabe, and Chewy could do this. So Homer is making his debut this week. And this is something we're going to be doing on Football Fridays going forward because Jen is gone because she's a big deal, doing her thing for College Game Day. And Homer is not going to be here next week. So we're debuting Homer this Friday. He's not going to be here next Friday. And then all the other Fridays he'll... Are you going to the Ryder Cup?
Why are you guys looking at me cross-eyed when I say Detroit's got the possibility of scoring 38?
They don't
now,
have
Homer,
any possibility. You have none.
Homer, yes. Homer, yeah. Will you agree that San Francisco's defense is much better than Green Bay's?
That's better, yes. But that you got to look they at that game. I know the game was weird. I give
33 points.
No, I give
454
Detroit.
Total
right,
yards.
Right.
116 rushing, 338 passing, and right. You're going to tell me that 38 points is out of the realm of possibility?
What was the score at one point in that game?
In that game, it was.
I give them credit for coming back. I mean, they're great. They're goofy first year coach, tight end guy,
Dan Campbell. But.
Yeah, he reminds me of he's like the. Who was the rock star that cut off the head of the bats? Was that Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, he's like the Ozzy Osbourne of NFL coaches.
The biggest lead that San Francisco had was 28. They were up 38-10.
Yeah.
And then they kicked a field goal early fourth quarter, and they were up 41-17. And in the last 2 minutes, Detroit scored two touchdowns to make it 41-33 at the end.
Yeah. Come on. Well, they had an onside kick. They're not going to score 38.
How comfortable you would them covering or Green Bay covering?
I think Green Bay wins by 20. I think Green Bay is desperate.
Ooh.
So, yes, I'm going to Chicago, and I'm going to bet on the Packers to cover what's 11.5, 10, 11.
Is it already up to 11.5 now?
I can't remember where it is. It's over 10. So 10.5, 11, wherever it is. Yeah, so they were embarrassed.
Yeah, it's sitting at 11 right
and
now.
And if they don't win by that margin, then one of my beliefs is wrong. Maybe Detroit is better than, as you say, or the Packers. It's still early in the season, and the Packers are still trying to figure it out. Remember how bad Tampa was last year? Tampa was all new. This is a veteran team. They kept everybody together. Now, maybe they're just counting on being good at the end of the season. So there's the possibility that the Packers are still kind of trying to figure it out, but they should put a whooping. I mean, if you were on this team, wouldn't you be embarrassed by the game? You not only lost, so I'm going to kick some butt. And who's the perfect team to kick some butt?
Detroit.
Yeah, but Homer, I don't know if they're embarrassed.
Okay.
So do you think they flushed it? Jason brought that up earlier, too, and we haven't had a chance to revisit that. But you think they, you know, when they were talking about flushing it on the bus, you thought they were just flushing this loss too soon? Or at least talking about flushing it too soon?
I'm more frustrated they didn't give us a good answer. I mean, Aaron, why'd you stink? Why? I mean, it's not just the two picks. I mean, you weren't great all day. The receivers, why didn't you get open? Mm-hmm. I mean, New Orleans defense isn't that good. Devontae, you have a case because they double-teamed you, but where's the new and improved MVS? And where's their great acquisition
they went to
for
MVS
a
on the first
pick, Randall
drive.
Cobb?
Cobb didn't. They went to MVS in the first drive, right? That was the first down. The little short yardage pass to MVS came through. Nice catch. People forget
nice
that.
Nice gain of, four?
I would ask you.
Yes, it was. I would ask, which became very important. It didn't happen. I'd ask you, I thought that New Orleans played exactly like Tampa. They used four guys to create a pressure, and they got some pressure, and it looked like they had 20 guys in the backfield, and then no one was open. Gabe, you guys watched it closer than that. I just thought, if you can do that, that's what – and they mentioned they didn't blitz.
If
you can get the pressure or some kind of pressure with four guys, that seems to me what's worked best against Green Bay.
Well, that works best against anybody.
Right.
Like, that's – if you can get pressure with four, you're probably going to be a really good defense.
But when you blitz when you blitz Rodgers, he kills you more than other people.
Yeah. But again, you have to be able to get pressure with four because if you give Rodgers 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket –
right.
It doesn't matter how good
the
corners are, someone's going
to
get open.
That's when you need to run the ball because they got all a bunch of secondary guys in there. Anyway, that's my answer that I would have wondered that Rodgers would say. Because, yes, you're looking at the 38. We're all looking at this game. The Packers, if the Packers score, there's a certain number that we're still worried. What, if they score under 20? If they score under 20, I'm still worried
about
that.
If they don't score 24 or more,
yeah,
it's got to be more than 24.
Okay.
I think that's the number, because I don't think this Detroit defense is
very good. My number's 28, but okay. We're in there, yeah.
Yes. So what's this game going to tell you, though? Even if they win 38-10, do you feel better?
Yes, it tells me first game was kind of a fluke, and then we'll go on to the next game. The key is, what does it tell us if they suck again? Yeah.
They suck.
Yeah, because if they win this game 38-10, we would expect them to win this game 38-10, and it makes you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yes.
This game does nothing for you. You know what this is, Homer? You know what this is? This is Wisconsin versus Eastern Michigan. That's what this is. Do you feel better? You feel better that they beat the crap out of Eastern Michigan, even though they lost to Penn State at home and looked like doo-doo? I don't feel any better. It's going to be the same thing with Detroit. I'll feel better when they play San Francisco and Pittsburgh.
But Eastern Michigan had no chance at scoring 30-plus against the Badgers, right?
I don't know.
Well, but the question isn't that. The question is, do you feel worse? That's the issue of this game. Do you feel worse? That's the scary part. Is it possible that you could feel worse than you do now?
I could feel worse.
Yeah, if Detroit scores.
Yeah.
I would feel worse if the Packers score under 20. I mean, I could live. I would feel worse.
Like, they got to score in the
40s. So 20-17, Packers win. You're questioning whether this team is even good.
No, I'm starting to think that's a possibility. I have no thought of that possibility of their offense not being among the top in the league again.
And then let me ask you this: who do you blame it on?
I hate
this team is different, except for one player.
Hold on, Why do you hate the conversation?
I don't hate. It's a good conversation. I want to get that out of the way.
Fine, you can still hate it.
But as we have had, as the show is going on, and we only have about 15 minutes left, but for the last hour and three quarters, like, now I just keep having a more sinking feeling. Like, this just knot in my stomach about, like, wait, the thought has now officially crossed my mind. Wait, what if the Packers just aren't a good team?
That has not crossed my mind. None.
But we got Chewy talking about if they give up 38 to the Lions. Yeah. We're talking about if they win 20-17.
Chewy's wrong.
I don't want to think about that.
I'm worried about one thing. Zadarius. I am worried about that. Zadarius stays goofy, then I'm even more worried because I question where the defense. He's really important to this team. Now maybe somebody could take his place, but that's my only concern going into this game is Zadarius.
Captain Kneecaps will have them ready to play. He will have them ready to play. That's the one thing that's scary about coaches like this. He will always have his team ready to play, and Green Bay clearly was not ready to play against New Orleans last week for whatever reason.
You know what he's going to tell them?
Now, if they don't.
He's going to tell them, here's what Kneecaps is going to say, and I would say the same thing. I know this one thing. We're tougher than they are. That's what I know. You walk on that field and know that everybody on this team is tougher than everybody on that team, and let's find out what happens.
Chew, at what point do players become tired of a routine like Captain Kneecaps?
It's fresh. It's new.
It's still fresh and new. So obviously, week two is not the time that people are going to get tired of it. But
I'm assuming when you lose, if you still lose, right?
Yeah. I mean, you buy into it this early, it's probably a grind. But their goal, Gabe, their goal is to just be a wild card playoff team. That's their goal. They know they're not winning the Super Bowl. You know, they're trying to go to where we were, like in 92, 93, which. You can beat teams doing that. You know?
I mean, I'm impressed by their comeback at the end of the game. It might have been a fluke. We'll see. Yeah. But that tells me they're buying in.
And they're not waving the white flag.
Correct. Homer, they're not waving the white flag. They made some plays when it was meaningless.
Well, Homer, why on God's green earth are you so confident to drive down to Chicago and place a bet on the Packers?
Because I think they were embarrassed, and I think being embarrassed changes everything. You can tell me if I'm wrong. You played. I think everybody plays different after you've been embarrassed. You don't want to win.
All right. I want to put that to the test because there is one game that we always talk about when Chewy ran to get covered against the Eagles. We'll find out how Chewy played after that game. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I actually love hot tamales.
I do not.
No. Like the
candy hot
tamales.
Is that the one with the corn where you're eating the husk and stuff like that?
No, you should not be eating the husk.
You're not?
If you're eating the husk, that's why you don't like it.
Come on.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Theory that you play that much better after you've been embarrassed. There is one game that Chewy always brings up on this show that, you know, he brings up a game where, were you embarrassed, I guess? I mean, you bring it up as your worst game where you ran to get covered, that for whatever reason, it was just a game you weren't very good in and you ran to get covered. Were you embarrassed after that, Chew?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
This was a game in 1998 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Chewy was targeted 7 times. He had 3 catches for 24 yards. Do you remember what happened next week?
I couldn't even tell you who we played.
You played Tampa Bay on the road, which I actually have a fun story about this game.
Oh, was that a Monday night game?
Monday night game.
Yeah, I had 2 touchdowns.
6 catches, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns. You caught all 6 targets.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting embarrassed kind of.
Well, I do want to mention, you have to be good. Cubs have been embarrassed on a regular basis. They just stink, so you can't.
That is a prerequisite. Yeah, that's a prerequisite to this. Yes, you have to actually be good in order to bounce back.
But more importantly, what was the game after we lost to Indy when they were like 0-11?
So,
Ashy, do you have that?
I did look that up. That was Week 12 in the 1997 season. You guys lost 41-38. You then won the next 8 games, and then lost in the Super Bowl. And the next game, you won 45-17 against the Cowboys at home.
Whoo!
Wow. Okay.
Your defense.
All right, Homer. You can drive to Chicago if you want.
Oh, wow. I mean, so Chewy.
Put your bet down.
So Chewy. Oh, man. I didn't know this.
But Tony Smith brought this.
Hold on. Oh, go ahead. One second. All right. Chewy always says, when we bring up that Indianapolis game, Chewy, what do you say?
I got my guy.
Chewy had 2 catches for 14 yards in that game. I don't know if he got his guy that game.
He had his guy better than other people had their guy. But he didn't have his very well.
But he did bounce back against Dallas.
I was blocking a lot.
Against Dallas, 5 catches, 52 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
And 2 drops.
My only concern about Detroit, Tony Smith brought it up, and he's right. The Packers could just be early in the season and still not, you know, having gotten everything together. So that would be why they could win by, you know, less than 10. Like, they're still in control, but and they're still good. But you can maybe start slow, but the one guy who I think is really embarrassed is Mr. Rodgers. So I'm counting on him to be a huge part of.
So, Homer, with that being said, that the offense isn't ready, what's your feeling on the preseason? I think these guys should be playing.
You can't say it unless no, you can't. You have to look at LaFleur. He's been the head coach for 3 years. Did he do anything different this year than the past? Not really. Maybe a little more of the guys have played less, and they've been fantastic. The first 4-0, 3-1. They started on the road the first game each 2 years. So what he's done has worked. And I'm sure he did the same thing, and it failed terribly. These are the interviews I want. I want Matt LaFleur, because I guarantee you, after that game, he didn't sleep figuring out, what did I do wrong? What did I not see? What was different about this team than the past 2 years? And I don't. If he has an answer, he hasn't told anybody. But that's what he's got to spend all night doing. You can't forget about the success with LaFleur that he's had and the belief that I got everything. Everything's good. Aaron Rodgers was goofy, but yeah, he came at the start of the – I'm assuming, and Wayne Larrabee talked about it, that the practices they saw look good. So that's my answer.
Because they don't do anything.
But they didn't do anything the last 2 years before that.
No, I know.
And that's the part that's the biggest shock to me. LaFleur's been great opening seasons. Now, again, this could just be it evens out over time. I don't know, but that's the one question I want. LaFleur's the only one I want to talk to. What have you thought and spent time, and I mean hours, trying to look back, what did I miss? What did I miss? My team was not ready, and that's on me, and my team's been ready, not only the first, but early in the season the last 2 years. Chewy, what do you say? Gabe, what do you say? If you were LaFleur, what would be your answer?
So...
maybe they needed to practice.
I mean, all we heard, though, this preseason was gushing, though, Homer. Rodgers, this receiver's room is unbelievable. They are so good.
Okay.
LaFleur saying, Rodgers, this is the best I've ever seen him in all my years.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, so now you have to reevaluate.
Yes.
Like,
what do you do? Now you're LaFleur. What do you, Gabe, you're LaFleur. Everything you said, Chewy, is right. You're now the coach. What the hell happened? What happened? What's the explanation? The only explanation is it's a different team because Rodgers was goofy during the offseason.
When you had a bad game, and again, you know what? The question I was going to ask you, Chew, is irrelevant because the one thing that stands out, and they keep bringing up, you know, like, oh, they had a bad game against Tampa last year. They had a bad game against the Chargers the year before. The difference is those are in the middle of the season. So I was going to ask you, Chew, you know, after that game against Philly, like, what was your explanation for why you were just bad? But at the same time, it's the middle of the season. That wasn't a game at the beginning of the year. That's the biggest difference to me.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I was? And I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I underestimated Al Harris, who was a rookie, right? Because they played a lot of nickel, and they put Al Harris on me. Well, I didn't realize Al Harris was as cagey as he was. He would get into my body like a boxer where I couldn't hit him, right? He's just in too tight to me. And then when I figured that out, then he'd stay away from me, and I'd try to whack him and miss. And I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for him.
And I would say that's
it.
My answer is they had no idea New Orleans was this good. They thought that there's no Drew Brees, and he wasn't just a player. He was the team. They thought we can play well. We're just going to beat New Orleans.
No Drew Brees, no Michael Thomas.
Right. And we all agree, 2 or 3 minutes into the game, we thought, holy crap, this is going to be tough.
But by then it's too late.
Well, you know what, Homer, if that's the case, then 98 – what do you call it? New mail?
New mail, yep.
New mail percentage of the blame goes on LaFleur.
Then. Yes.
If that's the case, it's 100% on LaFleur.
I'll join that club. Gabe, you go that high?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
If Chewy says it.
It's been a pleasure. It's so good I got to miss next week.
Thank you, Uncle.
Homer's going to be joining us on Fridays. Will the Itoush coming up next?